on the inside. She got the scoop on the ones to watch, on the ones that's hot. No one can do it quite like Caroline. No one can do it quite like Caroline. It's time for Caroline.
Okay, here we are. This is Girlfriend Confidential Part 2. And I have two of my favorite girlfriends, Lainey Crowder and Kristen Brust, in the house. What's up? We're actually in the Crowder house.
We're in the Crowder house.
The Crowder tree house. The Crowder tree house, because literally you are in a forest.
Feels like it, except there's a house there and there and there and there.
Don't look. Just you can't see them. Yeah.
The bamboo hides it. But here's the problem. We don't know how to take care of bamboo. And so if it gets too tall, it'll block our view.
It's not indigenous to our people to know how to.
Haven't quite learned it yet. But I did think the other day.
I'm really proud of
myself. Impressed. That's good.
What did you just say? Haphazardly.
Haphazardly disheveled. Mm-hmm. I have quite the vocabulary.
Lainey did not haphazardly whip together the most amazing lunch.
It was pretty good. That happens about twice a year.
I feel grateful that I got to.
Don't tell Corey. That's why when you're in there wondering, like, how happy Michael would be if he had this spread, I'm like, well, Corey never gets this.
I know. I was like, man, if Michael came home one day and I just had all this home-cooked food just out for display, he'd be so happy.
But don't you feel like it's the reason you do it for girlfriends is because they wouldn't. Like, Preston wouldn't walk in and be like, this is a beautiful table of food. He'd be like, babe, this is awesome. Like, just, you know, like, that's why you do it for your girlfriend.
Corey wouldn't have noticed the gathered sun. No. Did y'all notice?
I did. Yeah, with the picture.
With the tea.
With the tea. He wouldn't have noticed it.
Which is totally nostalgic for me because my mom used to make tea punch all the time. So this takes me back to when I was a child.
Well, I'm so glad.
So we've been really already pre-covering a lot of, like, pretty strong topics here.
We've solved all of life's problems.
I will say, in all of the world, you're my two safest spots.
Oh, I love that. I feel like I could come and just, this is going to sound awful, but take it as a compliment, just dump all my feelings on y'all.
Yeah. And
y'all
can really. But it's what I told you earlier. You said, I'm sorry for dumping all this on you. And I said, you're lifing on us. This is just life. This is what we do. We talk about the good, the bad, the ugly.
Sort it through.
And then 2 months later, we get together and sort it all through again.
Same stuff. Everybody just rotates the grab bag of feelings.
Because, Kristen, what was it that we said, I forgot how I described it. Oh, I'm going to take that back from God. My eyes twitching. My eyes twitching all the time. So what was it? Like, you and I have, when we talked about something, we're like, oh, we're not going to stress about this anymore. We're going to give it to God.
Like, the visual handing it over, which I actually was inspired by.
Look at my eye.
Because I feel like you're making it past me. I feel like it's just like twitching. What I'm saying is on the right track.
Keep going.
Keep winking at me.
I'm not coming on to you, okay?
I'm like, yes? Okay, keep going. I'm like reading a flashcard or something.
Yeah.
So Haley Hubbard actually inspired me to have this visual. And so I've tried to use it a few times when, like, most recently in my discussion with you, for me, it was just handing my marriage over to God. And it's not that it's bad, but Preston and I kind of speed dated, you know, for everybody who's new. You guys know.
Y'all got together, and then within how many months were pregnant?
Listen, we're coming up on 4 years, and we have two babies on earth, one baby in heaven, a new home. Like, I don't, he'd be so mad at me. I don't know how many, like, top 10 records or whatever. You know, a number one song. Just a lot of life lived in 4 years. But that's what happens when you find your person. You just go for it. But I was saying, there's no time to date, which is real for us.
So y'all are kind of reverse dating. So now you've got all the kids, all
it's
the things.
It's reverse life.
Reverse life dating.
Yeah.
How is that? Because Lainey and I did it opposite. We've been with our guys forever. Like, Michael and I have been together for over 10 years. You and Corey have been together.
I think that's how it's, think you're supposed
20.
To do,
right?
20 years! Not, you're not even
coming
old
up on
to 20. Be over 20 years.
I know, it's crazy.
How old were y'all when y'all got together?
16 and 17.
You've been together longer than
Oh no, I told my age. I don't think I care. I think I blogged about my age yesterday, so I think we're okay. Cool. Yeah, a long time, but you think of then your babies when you're together, and then you become adults together, and then you do music industry together. That's like a lot of different lives.
And y'all navigated a lot, because, like, when you and Corey first got together, it wasn't like he was just rolling in the success yet.
No, there was no rolling. There was no rolling. We, you know, I think our parents were... I'm sure if I'm a parent of adult children one day, hopefully I'll have the opportunity that I would tell my kids the same thing. Are you sure you need to get married at 22 and 23? You think you have it figured out, but you have no money. What are you going to do for health insurance? What, you know, there were a lot of red flags. Yeah. I mean, I don't think my parents were terribly stoked about that. I won't go into the conversation.
I can't imagine your dad was like, this is the best idea.
Listen, there may have been an intervention right before my wedding to say,
is this really what you want to do?
I remember the dinner conversation. And it wasn't anything against Corey. It's just you know it's going to be a hard road. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like there's no plan. And that's what all three of us have in common. Like, we're all musician families. Like, there's no set plan on how this thing is going to unfold.
There isn't.
Meaning today or life? Because even today I switched 10 times.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Like, some people who want just a really safe life, who want it all organized and, like, mapped out, don't go into the music industry.
No.
I would highly encourage a lot of people not to marry
artists. But it's so much fun. The thing
is fun.
In your 20 years being Corey, how much have you loved the adventure and growing with him? Like, how much has that meant to you?
I think because I've been a part of it from almost day one. Like, I feel invested in it. I feel he's done a phenomenal job of making me be a part of it. You know, I would work full-time jobs so that he could go out on the road and make negative money. And so he's done a good job of, I mean, when we buy something, this is because of you. When he has number one song, this is because of you. So that part's been great.
And her husband's Corey Crowder. He's a great producer, songwriter. And Kristen's married to Lokash, Preston of Lokash. FYI, anyone who's listening doesn't know.
But there's been, you know, plenty of days where it's like, what are we thinking here? You know?
I just had one last week when I texted you. It gets intense. I mean, if we're just being really real.
Yeah.
I mean, my husband left me with a crying baby. This is not his fault. I'm just letting him, the bus was leaving. And life rolls on. And we have a 2-month-old who is losing his mind. And a 2.5-year-old who had hurt feelings because dad's leaving. And I'm only one person. And he's looking at me like, I don't know that I've ever seen him, like, want to stay more with me, you know? But I texted Lainey and I was like, friend. Like, he's, you know, so Lainey called me. He's really giving me the business, that little 2-month-old.
Oh my goodness. I remember I got that text and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to text her back. Come over tomorrow. Let's talk through everything and whatever. Something was like, you have to call her. Because it's like 10:30. Usually if it's night, we're not like calling that late. Yeah. But I picked up that phone and call her and a crying baby answers. For like 2 solid minutes.
Yeah. Love or Kristen?
Well, both.
They're
little legend.
I said, Russ Party 3 is all crying right now. Like,
everyone's crying.
Yeah.
And so it broke my heart, and I sat on my bed, and Corey was outside because he sits on the back porch, you know, at night. He loves it, and it was too cold for me, and I thought, okay, I'm going to go down there and tell him. I will be back at 7 a.m. in time to, like, take care of our 2 babies. But I got to go down there because Legend, I've never heard him cry like that because his stomach was hurting. Mm-hmm. And then you were crying. And, I mean,
and,
and then I'm in here, like, about to cry. And I was just like, it broke my heart. But we worked through it.
Did you go over there?
I didn't. I sat there. We just talked for, like, 10 minutes. And then
I just need to say it.
You got
to
get it out. Why is that? Like, earlier when I came over here, I just immediately had to cry because, you know, you just have all these things you're going through and you're stressed out. And it's like, as soon as you can cry and get it out to your girlfriends, why do you feel so much better?
I
feel
like people who
don't have girlfriends or someone to say that to are
miserable people.
Yes,
I mean,
I just feel like any sadness only lives in, like, once you bring light to something, it can't exist anymore.
I like that.
Yeah, and you have to be able to say the ugly, scary, gross things. And the things that you don't want to bring light to are the things that are, like, the most insecure, the most vulnerable, the most, like, exposing yourself in a way where you're not, like, this strong warrior princess because, you know.
Wait, let's all just admit those do not exist. That's the problem. We think they do. They do in Hollywood.
They don't.
They don't in Nashville or any other city I've lived in.
Yeah.
That's not real.
Lainey, I'm going to trade places with you because your hair is going to block from the video. Not that we're really using the video, but you're so pretty. I don't want people to not see your face.
Guys, you know, I just tell you that I just had an update that my package from Amazon was delivered and my Golden Girls Stay Classy t-shirt is in.
Oh. Did you get one for all of us?
I'm Denver.
Okay, I mean, if you're not getting that set for Christmas, it's over.
Listen.
I claim Blanche.
Okay. You would. I would just like to be rose.
You're way prettier than Dorothy, but you're reasonable like Dorothy.
Oh. It's kind of like sexy saying no one wants to be Miranda, you know? But, like, Miranda's the really level-headed one.
Yeah, but she's always grouchy.
Who's the old?
Oh, she's Sophia.
I like her.
Yeah, you're a mix between Dorothy and Sophia.
I got small ones. I could be her. That's one better. Botox appointment. Anyway, so I was going to, I'm going to finish this thought because we will lose it.
Okay.
But I was inspired to hand it over to God. That's what we were saying.
Wait, what were you handing over to God? Everything?
My marriage.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not falling apart. I mean, we're fine. It's just.
But also, we like to control it and have it be a certain way that you want it in your mind.
We're in a season of abundance, and abundance is a good thing. I wrote a little post about this, but, like, it's all the things. It's babies, it's songs, it's touring, it's NFL and Pepsi, and it's all these really great things, but all these really great things are just all at once, and someone has to hold the home front down, and someone has to get on a bus and leave the other someone with a screaming infant to call her friend. So I just had that moment with you last week where I was like, okay, I've got to get all the way down. I just got to unpack all of it, and then I just have to hand it over. And then essentially, every time I try to take it back or be in control of my marriage, I say, I'm essentially going to God and saying, I'll take that back because I can do it better than you. But we know that's not true. So it's like a good reminder, you know? Like,
I know.
I feel like he keeps looking, like over the last week, I feel like God is like, oh, here she comes again. And then I just turn around, take a U-turn right before I get to him.
It's hard to turn around though. Lainey, you're really good about this. You were talking about that. How, especially like preparing for motherhood, how you have to learn how to, well, I'm trying to prepare for motherhood, how you have to learn how to like give it over to God or else you'll just self-destruct.
Oh, completely. I mean, because you're nervous when you're pregnant that something's going to go wrong.
And I'm always scared that, like, even before getting pregnant, that I'm going to kill the child before I get pregnant by something
yeah.
I do.
Which all goes back to fear. Nothing good comes from fear, period.
Yeah.
At any point in life, and whether you're trying to get pregnant, whether you're trying to start a business, whether you're trying to, I don't know, anything, you cannot have fear. But my whole thing was you can be nervous before getting pregnant, while you're getting pregnant, then you're nervous about the birth, then you're nervous about them coming home and dying of SIDS the first however long that can.
Oh,
you know, then you're nervous about, I mean, I have a 6-year-old in kindergarten, is his school safe, and you're nervous about, is he getting bullied? Like, if you do not get a grip on understanding, like, every day, it is a daily choice to be like, oh, I want to live in fear about my people today, it's a long road.
How do you get a grip?
Doing it every day.
And how do you, when you are talking to God, when, say, you're in the depths of one of these
spirals,
which I can easily find myself, even though, like, it's ironic because I'm one of those people who, like, preaches have faith, preaches trust, preaches all that, but when it comes to myself and when I find myself in a situation where I really want something or really, you know, you're trying to almost force it, it's like you almost X God out of the equation. When in every other part of my life, when it's going great or smooth, it's like, oh yeah, God's totally in control. He's the man. But then when it's not going exactly how you wanted it to go, it's easy for me just to start having so much doubt and fear.
Sure.
My eyes twitching at you again.
Well, I like it.
No.
Whatever you're saying. Good.
Yeah. Okay.
So what do you tell yourself in those moments?
I mean, I think it's just the ultimate belief that God is in control and telling yourself that on a daily basis when you can't make sense of things. Because I've seen plenty of things that I can't make sense of, but I've seen plenty of goodness and love and positivity in the world, too. You know what I mean? I think it's what you choose to focus on,
mm-hmm.
at least for me. I mean, if I'm focusing on where in the world is this world going right now and kids these days and whatever, then I'm going to see it. Oh, I just had a little truth bomb come in my head. So I have Amish. We talked about my Amish friends before. I have Amish friends.
Okay.
And this was on their wall, cross-stitched on their wall, and it says, what you see in a person mostly depends on what you're looking for.
Ooh, okay.
So
I really enjoy that.
What
you see in a person mostly depends on what you're looking for. And so, same with the world.
I almost feel like I need to, like, lay down with that sentence for, like,
right?
10 minutes.
So if you're going to see bad and negative and hurt, if that's what you're out to find, that's what you're going to find.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Dang.
Well, and also.
Go Amish.
Lame.
Also, if you think about, like, Lainey and I talk about all the time, like, when you start to panic about kids, how they're God's kids first, you know? Every baby is God's baby first. We're God's kids before we're our parents' kids. But I think we just really, I don't know, I feel like so many times you're like, okay, they're God's kids first, they're God's kids first, and then you try to take the control back. But, like, ultimately, it's like that with anyone. If you're just looking for, like, there's so much more good in the world. Like, I get fearful to go to Target, I'm just being honest, okay?
Target?
Mm-hmm.
There's something
Vendors.
Happening outside.
I feel like your house was getting cut down. I just said our house.
I don't know where they are.
It's like I am fearful of going to Target because I've read like too many stories about
the kids being taken from Target.
Yes.
Yeah. How do the kids get taken from Target?
You don't even want to know. It's like, just this is why I cried twice in labor because I was like, please don't come out of me. Like, I can protect you where you are. Like, I get freaked out when they're on their way out.
Like, stay in forever.
Yes, because you're protected and you're way easier to travel with, and I love you. And you're really dependent on my heartbeat, which is so like hopeless romantic about it. Anyways, it's all of those things. I don't even know where I was going with that, but it's just fearful and it's not fair. Like, there's also so many good things when you're out in public and there's like, you know, sweet old people that are like, I mean, I had this 96-year-old woman stop me in Costco because she just wanted to look inside the car seat because Legend was sleeping. And she was like, who's in there?
Oh.
And I said, it's really sweet. She said, how old? And she was like, oh, I've got 5 babies. I mean, just using a walker, that's somebody's mama, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, there's more of that happening at Costco that day than there is baby stealing.
I know. It's like, there's like, okay, say you have 100% to work with in a day.
I just wasted 2 minutes of your podcast, but
no,
there's a point.
No, but say you have 100% of energy to work with in a day.
Yeah.
And 98% of it is great things. Like, there's so many blessings you can be thankful for. But then there's this 2% of fear that's really dark fear. That's like awful things that are just like the worst things ever. And if you spend all of your energy focusing on that 2%, then that 2% of darkness takes over your whole life when really you're just laser focusing in on that when you could be focusing on exactly what you said, on the things that you want to see. But it's like, is it because we know our, once we like, and visualize or like know our worst fears out there, we get so scared, and if we think if we worry about it and keep it close then it won't happen, that really if you worry about it and keep your fears close, you're just living in your fear unnecessarily.
Well, it's like, think about, okay, just this may be dumb, but like always just think about the sky. It's a great big sky, but one cloud cancels out the sun in 2 seconds, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so just shift it through, like keep it moving. Winds have changed. Maybe that's why they
don't get
that.
Stuck on
do
that cloud.
Say, do they say that?
That's what they said. I went to yoga this week for the first time in like 5, 17.
And did you love it?
I do love it. If I, every time I go, I'm like, I need to do this every day.
Yes.
But at the beginning of class, when you're like laying there and you're like, why did I get up so early? It's really hot in here. And he said, let every thought that comes across your mind float away like a cloud.
Okay,
and it
was
so
like, thanks for saving that one.
Because I was worrying about something that afternoon, like not crazy worry, but like something I need to be doing, and did Walker have his book bag ready before I left, blah blah blah, and I just like started letting them pass away. So I think it's taking that 2% and letting it pass away.
And
I
mean, don't get hooked on it.
Don't get hooked on that.
Because like if you get hooked on that one rain cloud, then that one rain cloud is your whole sky. Or if you just let it float away, then all of a sudden you got a sunny sky and you can be back in sunshine.
And even those rain clouds are bringing all sorts of good things once they move.
So take the quick lesson from it, but don't get hung up on it and let it overtake your entire life.
It doesn't need to be yours.
That is the thing. Like, skip it. Just skip over it. Notice it. Get the lesson and skip. Keep moving.
Yeah.
Don't get hung up.
Be thankful for whatever goodness you can find in your own life, and then
go back and focus on the good.
Yeah.
We got pumpkins this year. Surprise. I love some fall. But
this chick does seasons.
I love seasons. I don't know why.
Because it makes you feel so happy.
Seasons because she has Aunt Lainey. I'm such a bah humbug about Halloween. This
you are?
Mm-hmm. But after this, when this is over, we're going to go downstairs and see what happens when you start seasons too early.
What
happened? The most disgusting rotted pumpkins downstairs.
Oh. We started this season in like August 15th.
You should start it as soon as you can.
I know, that was my thinking, but they don't show you this on Pinterest. Like a rotted pumpkin that you start in August. But anyway.
I mean, it's big if you think about it.
Okay, explain what it means to you.
Well, I don't know. Am I too much today? I feel like I'm just really in.
Why would you be too much?
Yeah, I really feel
you're too much in thinking that you're too much.
Yeah.
No, it's just like, what a sentence, you know? Like, people just say certain things and it just, you're like, wow, that's really something. Like, if you start a season too soon.
Like, don't jump the gun.
Yeah.
Don't force it.
Don't force
a season. Hey, I just found this quote.
Okay.
I'm going to redeem myself here a little bit.
You don't need to redeem yourself.
Okay.
Everything you're doing is great. You are having some bad self-talk right now.
Yeah.
Which
I'm
is
the bad self-talk jar. I'm going to put one out.
Bad self-talk. And that has been something that I have
Let's play a drinking game.
We're drinking tea punch. But I have been really working on my self-talk. And I want to keep talking about that to everyone listening because you've been a perfect example. Sorry, I'm using it as an example. But it's so easy for us to talk bad to ourselves. Quickly, like, put ourselves down.
My daughter is like a little freaking sponge. It is literally Kristen 2.0 at home right now. Like, I showed her a picture from her of herself from a year ago, and I said, "Love, this is you." And she said, "Oh my gosh, I can't even handle that." And I'm like, "You're 2.5." I'm like, well, he's so bad. But like, they're using, you know, they're just watching, and I'm like,
"I like, Mom, we're really on this. We're really struggle busing today.
Really struggle busing." She told me. Unbelievable. But it's true, because it's like, you know, if I'm talking about how I don't like the way I look, she's going to know that's the reality.
Yeah.
Okay, so this quote that I found said, "She's not afraid of the wait anymore, for she knows that God will open doors, beautiful and perfect, in their time."
I love that.
So starting the season 2 soon leaves you with rotted pumpkins.
It does.
Oh, that's good.
That's good, but no one to clean them up.
Except for yourself.
Right.
Because I've left them out there and Corey hadn't noticed them yet.
Did he even notice that you got them?
Yeah, they're decorated. They're cute. Like Mickey Mouse and Batman.
Did you decorate them?
Little kids did.
Probably has her initials on a couple down there. Every time she comes over now, she's like, "We're going to paint pumpkins?" But I do, you know, like, that's the beauty in just really coming into the season when you're supposed to and embracing the journey a little bit and getting, you know, just soaking up what you're meant to soak up and not rushing a season.
I did a meditation today, and the meditation was, imagine yourself sitting on a park bench with yourself 20 years from now. So your 20-year-old future version self. And what would your 20-year-old future self say to you now? In the middle of all this, like, what would she look down, she'd put her arm around you, and what would she say to you right now?
Camo is still a neutral.
Always. What advice would she tell you? Like, what would she tell you that she loved the most about the past 20 years? And what would she tell you? What would she say?
Every time you say this, it makes me tearful.
I know. It's
because I really think she's just like, enjoy your life. Like, stop making problems out of not problems.
Yes.
That's exactly right.
It's like,
stop rushing. Stop freaking out.
My dad said, it was a couple years ago when we were talking earlier, like, we were not in a season of success. I mean, we were like verge of it, whatever success is, but you know what I mean? Like, you're sitting here stressed out about things and where is this career going to go and whatnot. My dad said, you two are living in the best days of your life and you don't even know it.
I think of that quote all the time.
I love that.
Like, I don't even know if he remembers that, but that's coming from someone at the time that was probably 60.
But it is. It's the big middle of everything.
Yeah.
You know, we're all young adults. We're all happily married. We have families, starting families. This is like great careers that we're all excited about.
We all live in homes that music built.
That's beautiful.
Let that sink in.
That's amazing.
A lot of people in Nashville that can't say that.
Yeah. It's a blessing, and it's like, I feel guilty for not feeling blessed all the time, because I look at my life and I, right now, y'all obviously knows, but like, we're in a season of like starting to try for a baby and wanting a baby, and it's just like, you know, it's God's timing. And so like, whenever I stress about it, I feel guilty about stressing, because it's like, what am I upset about? Because God has blessed me so much. Why would I get greedy about another blessing and try to jump the gun for when that's supposed to come in my life? Like, I feel guilty for not being noticing my blessings all the time.
What was it you told me you can have? What, in grief in the same season?
Grief and gratitude in the same season. I just wrote a blog I'm going to publish for you guys.
Okay.
About Beth at Porter's Call, who is like, if Joanna Gaines and Brene Brown had a baby,
it would be Beth.
It's Beth.
Can we all go to Beth?
No, can Beth come?
Everyone should have a Beth.
How do you get to go talk to Beth? I need to talk to Beth.
We can get you to talk to Beth.
Great.
Beth is
the best.
The most Christ-like heart. I can't. She's phenomenal. There's not enough words. But Beth and I were talking the other day because I said, I feel like this is probably, it's circling back to like the marriage part, but it's like, you know, we have this great gratitude that we have this big season and success, but like, and some people on Instagram start to catch on. Like, Low Cash posted a photo in Vegas, and I'm posting a photo in Nashville. Like, we're never together, like, as a family. Hardly ever right now. And
so it's hard because you want to be so thankful for all the success.
I am so grateful.
But then you're also like, well, dang it. I wish I had my husband and my baby daddy home all the time.
I told him the other day, I feel a little bit like I traded him for these two babies. Like, I don't get to have everybody all at once. I get, and so when I do, I operate out of lack, you know, like it's not, I'm not operating out of abundance at all. And when I get him home, I'm like, how are we gonna, you know, we're speed dating life. And it's like,
instead, when maybe we should just let it be for that day.
Beth said, I can have grief and gratitude at the same time.
So how do you walk that line? What is that to you?
I think it's just saying, you know, some, this makes me sad, but focusing on the positive. I mean, it's like simplified as that is, it's just going, that's really sad, but then I also have this, you know.
Like, it doesn't have to be one or the other. You can have them both.
Yeah.
And that's what we were talking about earlier. Because I'm in a season of, I've operated in right and wrong and black and white.
Oh, yes.
My life.
Your creativity.
And now that, like, I'm realizing, wait, I kind of am a creative by nature.
You're so creative.
But
you don't have to
never,
be a singer to
know,
be creative.
I know, but I've never, I just wanted to clarify, I'm not coming out with an album.
Lady Crowder!
The new single drops!
Oh!
Hi, girl.
Not coming out with an album.
But it's to be okay with things not having to have an A or B answer. And
not
people told me
that line.
There, it isn't. It's okay. You can live in the gray.
So what are you learning? Because you're redecorating your house right now, and this is when you're having your big revelation. Because
yeah,
you're scared you're going to mess it up or something.
I love decorating.
But are you scared
I'm
that...
I'm afraid to pull the trigger because I'm afraid of making the wrong decision. So if there's 20 awesome couches, I'm definitely going to pick the wrong one for my house.
But how do you know if it's wrong or right?
Because there isn't a wrong or right.
But in your internal voice that's talking to you and dictating these fears, what is that voice saying to you? Like, because I feel that way too, just with like trying to have a baby and stuff. I'm scared I'm going to do everything wrong. But really there's no...
That there isn't always a right and wrong.
So what is your voice telling you?
Well,
about the 20 perfect couches.
The 20 perfect couches, what they represent to me is I don't... Control to me is black and white, right and wrong.
Okay.
And it's okay.
This
for,
is why we're best friends.
You know, life is easier, we think, if we are in control. If we can, like, make the right decision, the wrong decision. Like, it operates in some form of, I don't know, like, grid. That's just not life.
Have the rules.
Yeah, the rules.
The
bag of rules.
Bag of rules.
When I met Kristen, I said, we got to cut the string to your bag of rules you're carrying around with you because you just have rules for everything. We'll get into that afterwards. So
no. I really want to know what these rules were. But I didn't know you then. I was not in this trio.
Yeah, but I wouldn't have you if I had all the rules, probably.
It's probably good you cut the rules.
I'll tell you, I definitely wouldn't have either of you if I didn't have the rules.
If that makes sense.
Because the rules made it so that I couldn't move or fall in love fast or want a baby fast or...
They kept you.
Is my biggest anti-rule. He's my anti-rule.
Okay. Okay.
So I would have never had you. Because I would have never been a Boys to Men. I never would have met you on Bended Knee.
Yep.
Because you'd have never done anything.
I never would have called her about. I didn't know her real name. I just knew her Instagram name.
A little bit fancy.
Yeah, I was like, this really put together beautiful woman follows me on Instagram.
About you. Okay, but these 20 couches to me represent 20 right answers.
Oh, okay. So, like, how do you know how to pick one if they're all right?
With just pick one.
So, what happens when you pick one? Are you going to think you got the wrong one? Are you going
to
second guess yourself?
To. No, I'm not, because what's the point in that? Like,
what is your brain telling you?
Okay,
though?
There's those 20 couches represent 20 really awesome ways my house could look. Like, one's no better than another. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. That's just the new little season that I'm in. Obviously, something's up right
now. But you've always been an athlete, too, which I think plays into that. Like
black and white
and perfectionist. Sure.
Yeah, like there's a skill, you go learn it, and then you learn another skill.
And
there's
you nail it.
And there's a way to do things.
You
learn plays.
The shit out of that.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
You don't play very good defense, but that's okay. You shoot a really awesome three-pointer.
Yes.
You know, it was parameters. And so now that it's not even just for decorating, it's like with this mom blog concept thing. It's realizing.
Monic Relief, which is hysterical because you're so funny, lady.
So funny.
So funny.
I found myself funny, which is why I started it. I could have just as easily left it hidden for no one to find and print my little Instagram books out from it and be happy, but I love it and I've enjoyed people responding to
it. But it takes some bravery to put that stuff out there, you know, to like go public with your heart and soul. That is being a creative, and that
and
is why
drunk in your dirty car.
But that is why people who are creative people, which you are, and I'm glad you're claiming this now.
Yeah.
It is very intimidating to put yourself out there because this is coming from the depths of your soul and your brain, and then all of a sudden you put it out there and you're like, oh freak, what if everyone thinks it's stupid?
But I think I couldn't have done this 10 years ago because I wasn't confident and okay with who I was. Now I really don't. I mean, I'd be upset if y'all didn't like me,
which would never happen.
But I'm just saying, the rest of I
You got your people.
I don't care as much. I mean, every now and then, does that like seventh grade comparison and, oh my goodness, am I like, am I not creeping? Yes. But that's the exception now. That's not the rule anymore.
Oh, I love that. And so,
but I don't know. Well, isn't that just comes
like
with
so
age?
Much easier to sort?
Yeah.
I went to an event not that long ago, and I remember meeting someone who on Instagram was this person that I really was like, this is amazing. This is like one of my people. And then I got there and I was like, not my people. Mm-hmm. Sorted quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It just was not my people. And you just get it and you know it. And I wasn't offended or, you know, I was just like, oh.
It wasn't a match.
No.
Yeah.
And it's fine.
It's totally fine.
It doesn't mean anything's wrong with them or anything's mm-hmm. wrong with you. I always say two really great people don't always make a great couple. Yeah. Usually that's for dating.
So
that
true.
That can be friends. You know what I mean? Coworkers, like, you can have two great people, but together.
It's not a match.
No, it's not a match. Neither one's broken.
I love that. Yes, I used to have to feel like my eyes twitching again. I'm sorry, it just has to twitch, guys.
Just makes me feel like I'm doing a really good job.
You really are. Really great.
I don't even notice it.
Oh, really?
I really don't.
Mm. It's because her eyes are so pretty.
I used to feel like that I had to make everyone like me.
So
that I had
how
to.
How tired were you?
I think that's why I'm 35 and exhausted. And
yes.
I'm in the season of like zero fucks because I just like, I have my best friends, I have my family, I have my amazing husband. We have this beautiful life that we've built and to work so hard at building and gone through so many ups and downs to get here. And I'm like, I just am done chasing. I'm done chasing anything right now. I mean, maybe I'll jump back on the hamster wheel at some point. But in this season, I'm done chasing career. I'm done chasing people. I'm done chasing acceptance.
You need to throw the hamster wheel away.
Don't yeah, I don't think you'll ever jump back on
it.
You'll
I'm done with the hamster wheel.
No.
I've been on the hamster wheel my whole life just trying to keep up, trying to keep it moving, trying to make sure everyone thinks I'm awesome and great and nice and good enough and accepted. And it's like, okay, I am good enough.
Here's the one thing. You woke up good enough. The day you were born, you were good enough. That's
why
we forget.
Why do we forget that?
I don't know why. I think we allow the world to tell us something different. We allow other people's success to tell us something different. But you are no more valuable today with all the things you've done or haven't done than the day you took your first breath.
You really aren't. Because no one.
And you feel like, I used to feel like I had to get all these like stamps of validation to be like, this is why you should love me. Because look at what I have done. Or don't you love me for all these things I have done?
It's a retired artist mentality you have.
What does that mean?
Like, it's not the chase.
Oh, because I had an artist mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Always, just like this chase mentality. Just gotta get there. Where? Where am I trying to get? Where's the goal?
I want to like disclaim that there is to me two types of artists.
Okay.
Like the ones that are chasing for something empty and then the ones that just can't live a day without doing their craft because that's who they are and they're
absolutely
nothing without that.
And that's just their true God-given talent.
And that's who it is their being.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is
all of our husbands.
Brilliant and beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Totally.
We have.
Yeah.
Husbands and this table.
I just have.
But I love being here. I love being at this spot, even though like I'm kind of in a season of just like chilling and like wondering what's the next step, like, you know, honestly, we want to start a family and all that and just kind of waiting for that to happen. But it's just, I'm so happy to be here, that in this place of peace where it's like I know who I am now and I'm learning to love myself just as I am.
I think that's awesome. It too, like
that takes a lot of time and effort.
Well,
for me,
I
at least
when
it did.
You know, like divorce did it for me. The darkest.
Because I met you when you were not in the middle of all that.
Stop bringing up these pre-lady days.
Pre-lady.
There was no life before you, Lady Crowder.
It was no good. No good.
Oh, it's BC before Crowder. I just remember, like, I went through really, really dark. I didn't like myself. I made a lot of poor decisions. It was just dark, dark, dark. Not me.
But why is it when we're going through something that throws our whole life up in the air, why is it that we feel like we're that whole mess? Like, we feel like we are that mess. That is who we are.
Yeah, I don't know if it's part of, like, walking in it and carrying it until you can shed it as you walk and keep being forward.
Did you almost feel, like, ashamed of it or something?
Oh, it just was ugly. It was not a good time. But then I remember it's sorted. I think all those big life changes always do the most God sorting in your life. Like, it just sheds. Every big life change sheds. Miscarriage shed for me. Like, people, energy, you know? And I remember at the end of divorce, like, I just had this, like, new confidence because I just decided, like, that person who was a fine person and that 9 years was just not me. And I don't have to carry it anymore because, and I'm not that. Like, it's a part of my story, but it's not my story. This may sound, like, too, like, basic, the story thing. But it's, like, you just get to a point where you're like, this is what I know. What I know about myself is where I had to go.
Mm-hmm.
I know I operate out of love 100% of the time. I never mean to hurt anybody's feelings. That I can say that, like, that is a truth to me. Mm-hmm. I would never intentionally ever hurt anyone's feelings. I love all people. I speak kinder to other people than I do to myself.
Yes. Self-talk.
Yes. So, like, I operate out of love and I operate out of integrity. So when I go to bed at night, I just have to know that I at least, I'm the only one that has to go to sleep with me. Ultimately, even when I'm laying next to my husband, the mm-hmm. 2 months out of the year that I get to do that, I know that it's, I've done the best I can do in a day and I did it all for the right reasons in my heart. And so if people, you start to slowly but surely learn that like certain people don't fit in your life anymore mm-hmm. because there's people that want to assume you failed or assume that you're, I don't know. There's a certain type of person that.
It's someone who's stuck themselves.
Yeah,
and, if and you're like, you, I could never do anything to either of you that you would be like, I cannot believe Kristen did that. You'd be like, there surely she did not mean to say it that way.
You know that the intentions are always true.
You
and
would
good.
Never question me. I feel that 100%.
What is it though that?
So when you meet people that you're like, like I don't, I only have people that love and support me. Right now.
I think it's so. I think it's when someone else is stuck, though. I think you have to be in kind of a bad place yourself to be wanting someone else to not thrive. Do you think?
Or for someone to not be enough for you?
I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like if you don't want someone else to thrive, it's because it's misery loves company. Like you don't want, you know, you
don't need anybody rooting for me to fail. I don't need anybody like pointing out where like.
But isn't that terrible that that's even out there, that that's a thing? That's just basic jealousy.
Blogged about. It's called How a Dead Smelly Rat Changed My Life.
Okay.
I don't know if you've had a chance to read it yet, but this is what happened a couple weeks ago. I went to get my oil changed. I was running in there like a frantic, crazy mom. I meant to clean my car out. My car is a disaster zone. I'll just be honest.
Is there a dead rat in your car?
No.
Wait, anyway,
I get out of my car like that mom, and I was like, I'm so sorry to the mechanic. I was like, my car is a mess. Just please don't look at it. It's horrible. It's such a mom car. And he goes, ma'am, I just pulled a dead smelly rat out of the car in front of you, so your car is fine. And seriously, within 2 seconds, all of a sudden, I was like, I'm crushing it. I'm doing so great. Oh, that lady's got a dead rat. I don't have a dead rat. And I felt really great. Like, go ahead, look at my dirt, you know? But the more I thought about it, it bothered me that someone else's dead rat, someone else's flaw...
Made you feel
could
better.
...could make me feel validated.
Oh.
And so this whole vlog is about how many dead rats do we see in other people that, like, bring out our, like, comparison and, oh, I'm better. Okay, I'm not as bad as that. Or it just made me realize, like, I cannot let someone else's junk dictate how I feel about myself.
Well, I think it's like even though we all try so hard not to get in the comparison game and like we all love our lives, I do think something about knowing you're not alone in the struggle is comforting.
Sure,
like
totally comforting.
It's like, oh, okay, great. I thought I was the only one who was a hot mess, but that person had a dead rat. So like, freak, we are all hot mess. It makes you feel like validated.
We're all
it's
in this together.
But we're still looking.
But we're
for
still looking for validation is something someone else is doing.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it was
but
a
that is the
thing.
Need of community, too,
oh, yeah.
I guess.
But I think mean, it takes, like, the small step to just say it, and then everybody else is like,
oh, yeah.
Same.
Yeah. Same. But I hear what you're saying, because it's like catch-22, because part of it's like, okay, we're all in this together, we're all doing the best we can, we all have dead rats. But then it's also like, why do I need someone else's dead rat to make me feel good about
right.
myself?
Why did I need something worse than, like, where my car showed up that day to make me not feel so bad anymore. Like, okay, like, I should have just owned it. I have a messy car. I go get it clean when I get it clean. It's no big deal. I throw a goldfish at my kid to keep him quiet. It's fine, you know? But...
It's fine. They love it.
We went to a beach trip last night together.
They love it.
In Carolina.
Throwing it back like confetti.
Puffs. I was just like, Carolina,
puffs for days.
Yeah. Catch.
So, Carolina was teasing, and Carolina, someday you're going to listen to this vlog, and I want you to know that your Aunt Kristen loves you very much, and you were only teething. And that's the only
but way. When we get back, I think Preston was cleaning your crop. He walks in and has hands full of handfuls.
That's a hard one. Hands full. Say that 12 times.
Both. Fast. His hands were full of puffs, and he was like, Kristen, what is this? I mean, it was massive, so that's just our rule. But, I mean, I think it's just, at the end of the day, there are no perfect people.
Guys, the minute I, and I know this is like super intense, but it's like the minute I put out that we lost a baby, everyone was waiting. All these beautiful women were just waiting to say, same. Like, no one, and that was my biggest lesson in that loss was that, like, grief and gratitude at the same time, is that we're just all waiting for someone to say it. Like, it's... Every giant, giant loss is coming with something so much bigger. It's crazy to me. Like, these women were all, like, I said it in the blog somewhere or in an interview.
Because you were 12 weeks, right?
Yeah, but it's like, yes, I was. Baby lion, too. Love that little nugget. But, like, it is, it's crazy because I'm like, you're in the greatest loss. I learned that miscarriage, which makes us human, dead rats make us human, messy cars make us human, like bad self-talk makes us human. All of these things, no one is exempt from these things. So while we all look good on paper and Instagram and, I mean, I lost a baby, just like someone that works in a cubicle loses a baby, just like somebody that picks up my garbage loses a baby, just like somebody that's a brain surgeon loses a baby, just like people that are IVF doctors lose babies. I mean, think about it. No one's exempt. So all of these, like, they're just humifying. Is that a word?
Sure.
Let's make it one.
Sounds good to me.
It's a humifying moment where it just levels the playing field.
And I think that that's also, to go back to the dead rat in this also, I don't think it's wrong to want to feel connected to other people.
No.
And it's not like you want other people to fail or be in a bad place, but it's just like, oh, thank God that we're connected.
Yeah, right. This is how Lainey Crowder became my very best friend. I was like, finally.
A messy car.
No, just like all the things. Like, I remember when I met her, I was like, I remember when I met both of you. Like, it's a romance novel, but I could tell you each what you were wearing. But it was just like this like moment of like, oh my gosh, they must be so put together. I remember meeting Lainey, and I tried to tell her the story the other day, and it sounded not complimentary.
Because I don't sound good.
And so I was like, I remember when I met you, I thought you were so put together.
And then I found out.
It's so nice to really get to know you. You almost served me expired pumpkin goddess dressing.
No, it's just like, you just have these, like, we hold people to these, like, and even in my own home, I do the same thing. My husband's human. He's a superstar. He goes out there and does unhuman things to me all the time. He's unhuman because he...
Oh, he does unhuman things to you, huh? What does that mean?
I'm just kidding. I got a baby to bring. He, you know, it's like he's every single night he's out there, no matter. I mean, guys, let's talk about postpartum for 5 seconds. We're on a whole other topic altogether, but just in the fights that we would have, and then his superpower is that he can forget that he just got off the phone with his wife really postpartum. It was bad with Love Bug. And he would just go on stage, and for 90 minutes, he was. It's his superpower. I mean, he is relentless on the road. He's relentlessly chasing. Our first year of having a baby, he did 265 shows. I mean, it's just relentless. But, like, he's still human, too. Like, I forget sometimes he's human. And all of a sudden, when you have the humifying, since we're making that a thing, when he has a humifying tendency, I'm like, okay. Yeah, like when he needs me, or when there's a dead rat in the car, or when Lainey Crowder is throwing puffs in my back seat for 9 hours on the way to Rosemary Beach.
Like, which is like a 5-hour trip. It's not
But I think putting anyone on a pedestal, no matter who they are, even if it is your husband, whoever, I just don't think anyone can be on a pedestal because no one is on a pedestal. Like, no, if you put someone on a pedestal, that's a lot of pressure. A, for you to keep them on there, because if they let you down and they're on a pedestal, then what does that look like? Because they're on a pedestal. And then also, they're humans. So it's like, how can we put anyone on a pedestal?
You can't. And like the most genuine human beings, like I met Mallory Irvin, who I know you're close with.
Yeah, I love Mallory. She's the best.
And it was the most, like, she just had this, like, light and Christ-like ability to just make me feel like the world disappeared when I met her. And she was so in and so sincere and so sweet. And I'm like, I've really looked up to her as, like, how she's created this brand for herself and all these things and how she's, like, manifests, like... And this is just me watching this.
I taught her how to manifest. I gave her the book, The Secret. And I was like, you need to do this because she was in a dark place. I gave her The Secret. She read that thing, flipped her life around. I'm like, can you please teach me how to do this? Because you are insane.
But it's like, that's it. It's just like, okay, well, here's someone who's even more sincere in person. Like, my whole point is it's a news feed. And everyone says it's the highlight reel. And it's like, okay, but I don't dislike that it's the highlight reel either. Because I don't want to share dark, horrible thoughts with everyone until I can be on the other side of it and actually have something to contribute. Like, am I going to go in there and bash people or politics or whatever? It's like, what's my point?
Mm. That's your point.
I struggle with all
human.
Humanified. Well, and also, like, I struggle with that too because, like, I don't like just putting out the highlight reel, like, on Instagram, because I don't like just putting out pretty pictures and cute outfits at fun events with my cute, awesome husband who's doing awesome things. Like, I love all that, but there is another side to it. So, like, it's really important to me to share real
makeup,
real things, no makeup, like, but really struggles I'm going through. Like, and I struggle with how to do that because I'll write, like, a really heartfelt post and then I'll have, like, massive anxiety about it. Like, vulnerable, what is it? I think Brene Brown calls it, like, a vulnerability hangover or something. Like, mm-hmm. I'll have, like, this massive vulnerable hangover. I'm like, oh my God, I overshared. I, like, went so deep into my well and I just vomited all this stuff out. And then I'll go and, like, delete the post the next day.
But because it's hard to be somebody somewhere.
That's what I think. I'm like, okay, somebody who needed this got it when they needed it. And I'm not quite ready to keep it out there all the time because it makes me feel super exposed and naked. But I feel like that's so important to balance the highlight reel.
For that reason, yeah. And then just be done with it. Do you remember the day you called me and I was hanging garland? You're like the only reason I knew. I published that blog about the loss of our baby. I felt so good that it finally lived somewhere. And I can't even talk about that because I can feel the tears coming. So I am, the next day, Jana Kramer posted it. She's also going through a miscarriage. I'll never forget this. I'm not laughing because loss is funny. I'm laughing because I'm at my house hanging garland and Lainey calls me and I was like, hi. And she's like, I just can't believe this, KB. She's like, I just don't believe it. She's like, it's just everywhere. And I was like, yeah, miscarriage, unfortunately. You know, like, I'm like, yeah, 1 in 3. They say 1 in 3. And she was like, no, your blog. It's everywhere. And her sweet little accent. And I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, everyone's picked it up. Are you not watching? And I'm like, I'm not watching anything. I'm hanging garland. But it was like, she was like, it like people and E and all these. And I was like, are you serious? And none of them had cited me as Preston Bruss' wife, which was my whole goal. And that was just to be a woman, not associated with country music. Not that it wasn't a headline to me. It was a real life thing. Mm-hmm. And I just remember being like, that was one of my, that whole blog, all of that whole chapter has completely shaped how I think about everything because I just know when I did something for the heart of it.
Yeah.
When I did it for the right reasons, when I put it where it needed to belong.
Mm-hmm. It goes where it needs to go.
And you don't worry about where it went.
And you don't have to force it. That's another thing.
You don't even care.
Oh, wait, don't force the pumpkins. Don't start too soon. And that's my biggest thing too is don't jump the gun. I always want to jump the gun because like I feel like in my heart I always know exactly where I want to go. Like I know where I want my life.
You've researched it.
I've researched it. I know where I want to end up. I know the goals. I have my whole vision board planned out till I die. Like I got it all mapped out. And so I'm like, okay, well let's just get to it. Let's just move along.
Next step.
Okay, let's move. We got a little lull going on.
There's 20 right couches. That's right.
Don't rush the season. There's 20 right couches. And so it's like sometimes you're in a... And I even got a tattoo. This is what my tattoo's about. Y'all know this. But like my three little birds tattoo. I burned myself with a curling iron. This
That's
one
what they all
is for Bob. I know. Bob Marley, everything's going to be all right. But I got this to remind myself. Sometimes you're waiting on a wire because you're waiting. Because sometimes you have to wait in life, which is so weird that I got this tattoo because I go through these all the time. Sometimes you're waiting, preparing to fly and soar, and then sometimes you're crashing. And it's just like, and the cycle repeats. So you're never always going to be waiting, you're never always going to be flying, and you're never always going to be crashing.
Can I show you all this piece of art?
Yes.
These are the only two things I bought at Furniture Market, were pieces of art. One is on a rug, and one's from one of my best friends in college. She's amazing.
But it's like, to me, I have to remind myself, because I like to be in the soaring phase. Yeah, that's when I like.
All those things have the best. Each stage, each bird has the best. One has relief. One has the best view.
And sometimes it's great to rest. Like, I'm in more of a resting, waiting phase right now. Mm-hmm. And you have to enjoy that, because how wonderful to have time to replenish your well. So then when you are flying and soaring, you got the strength and energy to do it.
So true.
Okay, let's see it.
Okay, I'm not taking this out. This says once upon a time, but it's all broken and messed up. Sometimes life is a fairy tale and sometimes it's not.
That's okay.
I love that.
So it's just reminding yourself of that. Like, yeah, some days feel that way, some days don't. Neither one is right and wrong. This is grief and gratitude all together.
Grief and gratitude.
You know, and that's that made me think of.
All the seasons. Like, you have to have all the seasons.
Can we go back to this Instagram thing? This one of, like, post or not post? Because I've been thinking a lot about this, too. Just
to post or not to post?
Obviously, there is this pressure, where it comes from, don't know, to post things or not post things, right?
And now Instagram's just a part of our life and so society and culture and the way it is.
I feel like I'm not even, like, living sometimes. I'm, like, living your lives with you, but I'm not.
I know. Instagram's crazy. It's
but
bananas.
I do think we get caught up in, we have this responsibility to people or ourselves to be putting ourselves out there. No one's ever made us do that or told us we had to do that or told us we don't have to do that. I think we do buy into a lie sometimes that, like, this has to be such an integral part of our life.
Yeah.
Like, even to the point of, well, I'm growing a brand or I have a business or whatever. Yes, to some degree, but no to some degree.
Yeah.
Like, we get to decide what it looks like. You know, we get to make the choices in it. There's no right or wrong way to do it. And it's like, if you don't feel like putting this out there, don't. If you do, do. You know?
Right.
We don't have to overthink it. I guess that's...
And we shouldn't do it, going back to what you said with your blog, too, we shouldn't do it unless it's truly coming from a place where we are connected to what we're posting and feel like it's something we want to say and want to put out there.
But
just
that's
because
like
we
the
feel it.
Of life for me right now.
Same.
Like, I'm not going to a party so
Same.
That I can be tagged at a party.
And I used to be that way. I used to want to be at all the things
and
all
the
people.
And I used to want to be invited to all the things.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, I mean, even with Preston, like, he's like, can you come to this Boston game, NFL, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I just have to be honest. Like, I would rather be home with my babies.
Mm-hmm. This is your season, Ariana. You don't want to miss it.
But I'm like, but it's so great, right? Because it's like, I get to say I'd rather be home with these people.
Yeah.
And that's my choice. And I, like...
And you feel confident in that choice, and you don't feel
not even
sad or FOMO. No. FOMO, fear of missing out. I think everyone knows what that means, but some people might not.
My husband introduced me to JOMO, which is the joy of missing out.
JOMO, baby!
So,
yes, Corey!
JOMO. You have JOMO, and you go, like, the second you feel the FOMO, you go, wait, what did I get to do instead of what's going on right now? Oh my gosh,
love
I'm enjoying that. I got to have this conversation. I got to, you know...
Hang out with my kids.
There you go. I got to have 20 minutes of silence to myself. Whatever, JOMO.
I love that.
Yeah. I mean, someone introduced it to him, so don't, like, give him all the credit.
It's not like Roy Cruttering.
Yes, no.
TM.
Sure, it's trademarked somewhere.
But I love that.
He introduced me to it.
But I think the reason I'm wanting to have these podcasts, the Girlfriend Confidentiality, or Confidential, whatever we're calling
it. What am I calling this?
I don't know what this thing's called.
You get to make the choices. There is no right or wrong.
There is no right or wrong.
I'm Girlfriend Confidentiality, the host of, what do they call
this? The host of, what the heck is this called? I don't know. That's about my life right now. What the heck am I doing right now? What the hell am I doing? That should be what I call this. What the hell am I talking about?
We all feel that way. Like, that's just it. Like, we were earlier having, before we started recording, having these conversations about, like, really deep things. And I'm like, no one is nailing it. I had a friend.
No one is nailing it.
Kim Rose, if you're listening, you have changed my life with one sentence. No one is nailing it.
No one is ever nailing it.
And you remind me today, and I'll remind you tomorrow. We'll just keep passing it on because...
But that's why I want to have these, because I have been super uninspired lately with just anything. I've just been kind of in a funk, just kind of like, ugh. You know, what is the point of any of this? I'm just not, like, fired up about anything right now, which is just a season. But to me, having real talk and being able to share that, especially with women out there, because I know a lot of women aren't as open as we are, you know? And I think a lot of women need to hear these kind of conversations just to realize that you are not crazy. You are not alone. Other people have dead rats in their cars. And it's okay that
and
we...
And you know what? If I have a dead rat in my car next month, it's okay.
It's going to be totally okay. But like you said, no one is nailing it. And like, even if you look picture perfect and even if you seem like you have it all together, who does? Nobody.
Also, who cares?
Exactly. Like, who are we comparing ourselves to? What?
Why?
Isn't the goal happiness? If you can find peace and happiness in JOMO with yourself, then who cares?
Then you are, nailing it.
Then you are nailing it.
Yep. You're nailing it.
Okay.
Don't start the season too early.
Don't, and there's, pick any of the 20 couches. What was that one?
20 couches.
There's 20 right couches.
20 right
there's 20 it's all right couches. Because you're going to sit no matter what.
And for me, I'm not going to kill my unborn child even before it's born by, like, I don't know, so eating something or, like,
I need you to not stress.
Stressing.
Because it's not even for you.
And
it's
we're going to need that eye to stop twitching before you go.
My eye is twitching.
No more stress.
Oh, gosh.
Live in the moment.
I just want to be more like my daughter. And
right,
I just
in,
really
in
overanalyzed
it.
When in the cycle, life cycle, do you start adopting the rules?
When do you?
Because at 2.5, she doesn't have the rules yet. And I love it about her. She walked into Showroom Nashville yesterday with a fancy Nancy costume, a faux fur, red jacket, and floral Doc Martens. Like she owned the place.
But when do we lose that?
I don't know, but that's what I'm like, the best part of parenthood to me right now is just like watching, like, when do you start to learn a rule that makes you not as comfortable? Like Lainey and I had just talked about yesterday how I feel like a more basic version of myself and I don't like that. Like, I can write all these things and share all these things, but the minute I go to choose an outfit, and fashion is one of my favorite things, I will pick something that's safer just because I'm like, oh, what if?
But not today, you're wearing stripes and leopard skin.
Yep, you did it.
It's so liberating. But it is like, when do you start caring what everybody else thinks?
But I think now we're in the undoing that. I think that's what happens now. So maybe, like, you keep it when you're young. You kind of lose it in those
good
conformity
point.
Years, like when you got preteen and 20s and early 30s and all that. And who knows? It can go on for as long as you want. But for me, I feel a distinct season shifting, and I think we're all there, where it's like I am undoing that. Like, I'm moving in a new direction where it's, like, becoming more myself than ever.
It makes me excited for our kids.
That's
yeah.
Because
I don't want that.
Our kids are going to be different. Raising a better generation is something I really believe is happening right now.
And raising one just to be more free in themselves, not to put all these, like, society standards that you have to be something. Like, growing up now, like, if Michael and I have kids who are gay or something that's not typically in the normal, I would be so happy. Whereas those back in the day when our generation, that was a stressful topic, you know, if your kid's not following protocol exactly.
Everything's a stressful topic.
But this, at least in the community that we live in, I feel like we all are so open to all of it. As long as it's in love.
Just lives their best life. No harm to anyone else. Lives with integrity and love, and then you can just go ahead and stay in your lane.
But why do we need to get everyone boxed up? I was even thinking about that with religion. Like, why do we need to have everybody so boxed up? Why do we need to say, you're in this box? Okay, we're safe because we're all in this box. Or, like, in life, like, we're in this box, so we're all boxed up and safe so we can relax because we all agree.
This all goes back to control and right or wrong choices. People like to have that because they feel like they're in control.
Yeah.
They're not.
But it's like, why do we need that control? And who was the first person that was the rule maker that decided that that was the way it had to be? Because honestly, if you go back to the Bible, Jesus is love. And the first rule is love your neighbor as yourself. So it should stop right there. Like, where do all the other rules come from? You know, humans.
I mean, we could get into a big old theological conversation, but follow mankind, there's sin, there's darkness. That's where all that starts.
But I just think,
and
isn't
you look to find
what you see in a person mostly depends on what you're looking for.
And I think that we're just looking
couches and what's the cross stitch?
Pumpkins, right? What? Listen, this is what I pray over both of my kids every day before they walk into school. And I say, God bless you and keep you. Have fun and do your best. Love yourself and love others.
Way to teach self-love, because that's very
so
important.
That is so big to me. And
self-love.
It's not that I was denied it or wasn't allowed to have it.
It just wasn't a thing.
It wasn't a thing to teach.
It wasn't nurtured.
It wasn't nurtured.
I think we all have it. It's just how much was watered.
That just
every
wasn't
day.
Part
love
of the...
Love yourself and love others. Like, those are
yeah.
so equally important to me.
Love yourself is number one.
Yeah, agreed.
Because if you can't love yourself, how can you fully love anyone else? And I've had to, like, figure out how to self-love. Because I, even though I had great family, great opportunities, like, it's taken me a long time to get into being in love with myself.
No matter how many people you love, you'll still end up empty.
Mm-hmm.
True.
If you don't love yourself.
And I think you can really only love yourself if you are connected to something bigger
than yourself that you can trust, that's calling the shots, that you get to just listen and
be you feel like with. A chosen daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a daughter of a king, and that is priceless to me. That's every morning right now, it's on my mirror. I'm the daughter of a king.
I love that, and we're all meant to be here.
Mm-hmm.
It's a miracle that we're here on this earth.
Amen.
So let's live it up and have a good time and not get hung up on the 2% that's sad and depressing.
Okay.
And let's live in our 98%. That's awesome.
Those clouds are moving.
Don't get stuck in the rain cloud. Push aside and get back to the sunshine. Yeah, learn what you need to take from the rain, but let it water your plants. But don't stay there. Don't live there. Don't park your camper.
Don't chase that dang cloud around right where it goes.
Don't follow it. Yeah, don't get in your camper and start following it and thinking that you got to stay connected.
But if you are a storm chaser and that's your passion,
go ahead.
You
know. We're just talking literally, not big. Wait,
figuratively.
Okay.
Okay. Well, should we wrap up? Let's leave your light. I always do that. So leave your light. Leave some inspiration, although this whole thing is inspiration. Like one
right.
little nugget.
I'm leaving this nugget, which I also tell my children every day and myself. The Lord did not give you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind.
Now I have it in my kitchen, thanks to you. And I don't remember life BC.
Before Crowder.
So glad. I'm sure it was not awesome.
There is no life BC.
That's right.
I will say that if your heart, spirit, mind is aligned with something that you need to say and you say it for all the right reasons, then you should say it. Because I promise whatever you're saying, no matter the stage, you don't have to be nailing it. It doesn't have to be perfected and you don't have to be on the other side of it. Someone is met with those words and those thoughts exactly where they are today.
I love that.
What's your life?
And I'm going to say self-talk, like you said, because that's the season I'm in. Loving yourself first. Not in an egotistical way, but like truly valuing yourself, valuing your thoughts, your feelings, not being hard on yourself.
Valuing.
Treating yourself with kindness and knowing that you are valuable and meant to be here. And so don't talk smack to yourself.
You changed my life with that word just now. I'm writing it down.
Valuing. Even if you're upset with the way things are going or you're pissed at how things have shook out, find a way to love yourself through it because it's just, we shouldn't be hard on ourselves like that. We shouldn't be mean to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my thing, self-talk. So just love yourself no matter what's going through. And nothing's terrible. You can always, like, redeem yourself from any situation. There's always something to be learned. There's always something to come from it. And so that's it. A lot of self-love. Love you guys.
Love you.
Okay, girlfriend confidential out.
Out.
Is
that
what
we're calling it?
Yeah.
Or
what the hell did I just say?
Caroline. She's the queen of talking, hey, what's on your mind? She's on the inside, she got the scoop on the ones to watch, on the ones that's hot. No one can do it quite like.